This is not against poets. The whole point of the poem is supposed to be hypocritical, so I am actually being a hypocrite. If you listen to the poem, you understand. All the poets, they sell their lives again. They announce it away on pretend pedestals, deliver their flaws and hidden values, beg to us to take them and buy it off their hands. And I might do that actually, because they're giving it away free. Oh, and the nymphs, they are scared and cry because life has changed again. And I sit there, middlemaned, with light lamp white, only meters from my pale milk face, surrounded by shadow dark night, and clip the keys to tell them pity if of their battles with their mates. But I only talk to them because they're nymph. I was so lonely one night, I negotiated with my childhood bear to come down from his empire shelf and sleep with me. He lied he was hesitating, that he regrets some decision, some conclusion, that he'd rather spend the night staying on his shelf and read Alice in Wonderland. So that defines it. My life is alone, me and a white portal to the world. Next, when I hear some poet auctioneer his life on top of a pretend pedestal, I'll bid for my soul and my socializing, for his set of actress girlfriends that are only a text away, possibly. But I'll get the shock of how much of a mask his social life is, how much true the poet's words were, and how much I selfishly assumed. I always argue I'm just my own sex, not man, not woman, poet or nymph. I'm so out of tune, just a changeling. So I pretend I lost all my change in front of him. I disappear behind my portal brush and beg my bear to sleep with me tonight. Thank you.
Give me up Shane Boyle, please. Our five or John's were enough tonight.
Alright, so some of you know me, some of you don't. A lot of my stuff is very performance-based, very kind of acting and whatnot, and experimental, blah, blah, blah. So lately, I've been pulling back on that, and I've been writing very strict, more kind of proper poetry. So I've been playing around with the idea of sonnets, when you mentioned sonnets, and somebody else mentioned it the weekend as well. And I've written a couple, but classic sonnet form, they're extremely lovey-dovey, so please leave now if you must. So this is 14 lines and it's very strict iambic pentameter. It doesn't rhyme because it's a very early draft, very early draft, so I apologize, but here we go. Untitled. I do not have the hands to hold your love. You slip between the bows of my fingers. You fall into the cracks of my wrinkles. I dig pieces of you out from my nails. I whisper love, you echo in my ears, and the sound eddies out in slow murmurs. Sometimes I wake and move towards your love, grasping at duvet and pillow instead. When the morning breaks, I see you again, sure and smiling in the glow of dim light. You take my hands and press them to your own, and whispers echo softly back to me. I do not have the hands to hold your love, but you are enough for the both of us. Thank you.
Thanks, Shane. Can we have Ben Bonds, please?
This is a quiet poem, but not completely quiet. As quiet as the moon, as quiet as the blue sky, as quiet as light, red and green, as quiet as the concrete beneath my feet when I'm standing still and no cars going by, as quiet as an engine not running, as quiet as a sleeping bird, as quiet as a phone on silent with vibrate disabled, as quiet as 477 recently extinct species, as quiet as a thought, as quiet as wind with nothing to blow through and no ears to hear it, as quiet as a zipped up MP3 file, as quiet as a smile, as quiet as a mute cat, as quiet as a guitar not strummed or picked because it has no strings and the sound hole is full of cotton wool and it's at the bottom of a well that's run dry and being filled in with tightly packed dirt and feathers. As quiet as moss, as quiet as dust, as quiet as a slitter not pucked, as quiet as ash that isn't swung and doesn't clash, as quiet as a bullet that's landed, as quiet as the dead, as quiet as this planet will be, as quiet as whatever came before all this, as quiet as that.
One day I came upon a glove lying on the ground on the verge, and it was a beautiful suede glove, and there it was all alone. And I thought, how sad. So I picked it up, but I couldn't do anything with it. So I placed it in a prominent position, hoping that the owner might find it. And out of that came falling out. Caramel suede, an inner hint of fur, an object without feeling. Yet my ripe imagination slips in to take a hand in its abandoned state, imagines how it was before the fall, when snug beside its mate, it nestled in some hallstand drawer. They must have been quite a pair, going everywhere in tandem, nothing they couldn't handle, as long as both were there. Now, severed from togetherness, an outcast on the verge, cut down in its prime before it might lose its luster, get stained or start to fray, it lies deflated without the feel of flesh. Hollow where once the pulse of blood was felt, where fingers found their place, its single state makes it unfit to carry on or carry anything. A sudden end, though simply losing touch. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Can we have Ray Hanrahan, please?
This is one I wrote today, well finished today. It's called Oh Brother. Oh Brother. The phone rings and it tells me it's my brother. His cheery voice I recognize at once. He asks after my health, I do likewise, and then we make small talk about the weather, the declining of the day, of the Xmas invite I've received. I pace as we talk, him hundreds of miles away, but brought together by technology. We make our relationship anew. We talk on, vocally dancing around all the awkwardness too long a silence between us inevitably brings. All those years we have to catch up on, the years between us not now mattering so much as the need to talk brother to brother. Maybe one day we really will have a shared laugh down that phone line and not be so goddamn nervous. He is my brother, after all. Even though he irks me from time to time, it is better that I hear from him and make this communication than have my brother as a stranger.
Thanks, Ray. Can we have Patricia Walsh, please?
It's skull and bargain to recruitment. Parallel lives become splintered. Declarations of true love come undone. Promises of employment slip away. Notice of good time falling asleep. God bless the shoes that leaked. On a rainy day, a beautiful hiatus, enough to make us still in our own pride. God on our side, enough to tide us over. On a high building, threatening to fall, a ship of state awaiting us. Our shattered bones, being talked down to facilitate conscience. Not high enough to die, all us attention sought and gained. Renouncing family, comfort, celebration. Looking rich despite budget. Take me on for your dirt clean work. Elusive, so it seems, sorted anytime soon. Another side of Christmas, induced indolences. Work ethic drizzled away. Border cuts to basic help on. A love for some danger, dissuaded by a spectacle. Natural enemies, my work and my own work in life. Creating equipment, place and storage. Not employed but working, fighting my life. The retribution for coming. Thank you.
That's a good shot. Come up now, please.
I have two to read at that time.
As long as I'm not too long.
None. Moons phase me, so phase me please, and never too soon. Too. I need you again, listener, to count backwards from infinity plus 1 to 10, and open my eyes and beam with surprise. You're so fucking beautiful and ever so wise, and your moonlight will ever and your moonlight will forever delight, as your white light lets me move with power and might, reminding me of what it's like to win a fightless flight, inside my own head, resurrecting my dead. I can feel alive, so alive, and I feel I am more than just a will to survive. I am me and moon, you are me. I am you too, oh, I'm repeating myself, you make me swoon, moon. Oh, you shine on every mat and every shoe, every rock and every stem, every coffin, every scribble of a pen. It's time to see you again, time to count back to 10. I'll see you soon, big, bright, beautiful moon. Flutter, flutter, you're eating far too much butter. It's yellow and yeah, I know you just want a mellow fellow. But will you just chill and relax, don't put on the toast. Leave it as bread, don't lose the head. Have an apple instead. Too much butter will make you flutter. Butter. Yeah, I know, butter. Butter, butter, yeah, I know, butter, butter what? Forget it, move on, don't put the toast on. But butter pops to mind, it's just a piece you want. One slice, one spread of the lover's knife. One cosy dark night, butter seems too good to miss. Butter, butter, a golden kiss, I miss.
Take that. Can we have Kieran McCartan, please? Oh, sorry, not Kieran McCartan. Can we have now Harriet, please?
The name of the poem is Apocalypse, No Thanks. I don't believe in an interventionist God, as Nick Cave says in the song. So it's all about God, but just to clear that one up first. When will I bless the world, says God, beseeched by the battered human race? When every misled, bigoted clod stops hating and fearing the foreign face, then will I bless the world, says God. Have a heart, don't blame me, says God. Your religions and isms are all a cod till you learn to let go of rage. The righteous are a pain, says God. Grow up, leaders, act your age. Help me bless the world, says God. Give me a break, don't blame me, says God. To beat your own backs, you make the rod. Look within to find the source. I am Yahweh Christ Allah, says God. You want apocalypse, you're right on course. Still, you have a choice, says God. But count me out, don't blame me, says God. And I dedicate that to all victims, non-combatant victims of all the terror in the world, whether it's by knife, bombs, whatever.
And now, finally, General McCartan.
That's a longer introduction than this poem. The Crystal Strand. You are looking for a crystal strand of no mass, no volume, and no feeling in the exact middle of two polar opposites.
And those of you who were at the Winter Warmer Poetry Festival last weekend at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon will know exactly what he's talking about. Can I have Rosie O'Reilly, please?
Okay, I've got two little things. Second thing's a bit scarier for me, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay, just get up, is it?
Yes, we are going.
Come on.
I did Kubis's workshop this evening at UCC. And those of you that are thinking about doing it on Wednesday in the library, I highly recommend it. It was really great. I wrote a poem tonight at the workshop, so I'm going to share that with you now. It puts you off the workshop, I apologise. The exercise was to start every sentence with "and." So this is what I got, and I gave it a title afterwards, Paris 2006, and it's interesting actually, what came up would have happened to me. I would have been in this space in 2006 in Paris, right about now, this time of year.
It was the World Cup then.
It doesn't matter what it was. I won't point to that. And I never thought I'd be here, and leaving so soon, so prematurely, and without having really been here, and the way they looked at me, and the tears snotting down my face, and the words not there, not coming, and only the language of loss to let go of, and beginnings that end, and only myself to blame. Now I'm going to try and sing a little song.
Alright!
At the Winter Warmer Festival, and Padder Moynihan, who is the proprietor of this establishment, actually supported us a lot.
Very good.
So I was being a bit daft the other night and trying to write a silly old Irish drinking song. So this is kind of how it goes. So forgive me. Alright. A man named Padder Moynihan. A man named Padder Moynihan. The man with the bottle that never runs dry. The lad with the Padder Moynihan.
given poets rich land.
Can we have a... Oh, hang on a minute. Can we have a Cooper's moment, please?
Okay, I'm not pretty good at introducing my poem, so I won't. I will just read it. It's a poem that's been hanging around in my notebook for a few months. It's been written a while ago, and I'm just busy revising it. So this is its first public airing. Rain in the Karoo. Over the sagging wooden floor, over the red stones, the bushes with thorns and the bushes with insects, over the ridges and the hills, the black rocks balancing, juggling wind and weather, the birds and more, wings of their singing, over the rim of that horizon, the sky comes, walking on its hands, splayed pale hands of a child. Sky comes walking on its hands because its feet are too far away and its mouth is full, carrying new water. Thank you.
Thanks, Curtis. Can we have Cedric Bicon now, please?
For the past 2 years. Anyway, it's called Amen Heretica, Amen Erotica. The scenario was set. The doors pushed by a choir boy on each side slowly shut. Soon no light, no sound would filter in or out. Like screwed inlet after the plumber applied his special sellotape. It was nothing short of a weekly miracle. Then, like a hero, he walked up and stood before the very symbol of sacrifice, from the man to the trees that made the cross. The scene of violent peace and wisdom was now being shot. No one would pipe a word. He would snipe our puberty out of our brain, blowing our young minds. To the young boy we were, our penis were now, what's now, forbidden idea. The thought of damnation would send a chill down our spine. With just a few words, the priest had shut down a forest of pines. But these feet of faith would play with our nature, a dance of decay, of growth and decay. Sexuality would spread again like influenza during winter, regenerating their hormonal decadence. Our devils would rise again, known and hidden, misunderstood, until the next Sunday's exorcism. All would bow their head to the holy, only to surrender later to the morning wood. To be continued.
All right. Thanks, Hedwig. And our last contributor of the evening is Michal Weber. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
You want to do something together? Or have you got a plan?
What do you think about
it? I was thinking we could do, you know, the hotel last thing.
I love it.
I think we'll stay in the other day. Okay, we'll do that. On the way to this convocation, we stopped at the motorway service station, and we found the mouth of truth, no lies. I put my money in the crack, I got my electronic feedback telling me stuff about my life, no lies. He said, you're a crusty, you are bad, grow up, stop acting like a little lad, and turn your cat the right way around, don't tell lies. Set in your rights without responsibilities. Know yourself and your capabilities. Speak out, be a mouth for truth, don't tell lies. Take this message to the convocation. Shout it out, give a demonstration. Act like a model for the youth, act like a model for the youth. Don't tell lies, don't tell lies, don't tell lies, don't tell lies.